Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Bhutan dhammam sangham namassami. So I thought I'd just relate to you as part of my recent experience of a trip to Thailand. There's one aspect of it. Lived at Amaravati for a while with very generous and kind supporters, and I'd become rather fat, actually, at least in my own eyes. Weighing in at 13.5 stone is quite a lot heavier than I'm used to, a bit of a belly. And yet before I went I was thinking, oh well, it's not a problem, you know. When I get to Thailand then there'll be less to eat and I can lose weight and it'll be alright, you know. I can eat less and practice hard and, you know, all this fat sitting around my waist, this can keep me going, I thought. So I said, alright, don't mind this really. I was thinking like that. We come to rather enjoy the beautiful food that's so generously provided. To the point where, yes, I have to say I was overdoing it. But I had it all rationalised in my mind. It was only when I got to Thailand and it was 1 meal a day. Less food there, and in the afternoons an awful lot of craving arising, and not a lot of energy. So this theory, this fat around me middle that will keep me going, was just not working. I was rather frustrated. I'd say to myself, well, sitting there thinking, well, here I am, you know, I feel hungry, and I've got no energy. Why can't my body use this flipping fat around the middle of my body to keep me going? It doesn't seem to be working. So again, I lost faith in this, and it was a kind of interesting experience, these, because you think, well, you know, I don't really seem to know how this body thing works after all this time. You know, 50 years old and still don't really see how it works. So in fact, the reality was that I had to actually deliberately eat little in order to lose the weight as well. And I'm feeling quite wobbly in the afternoon, to start to drop the weight that I thought was going to go away naturally, and I had a lot of craving to go through. So I came to think, well, I wasn't really feeding the body when I was living there at Amaravati. I come to the point where I was feeding this craving, and now I've got to sit out all this craving that I've created for myself. My meditation's not so good as I was hoping, because of all this craving that comes up in the afternoon for the food that I've got used to, a little bit of this and bit of that that I've got used to. So I think that, you know, the supporters at Amaravati are rather killing me with kindness. Bless them. But obviously it's up to me, isn't it? You know, it's not their fault at all. It was up to me to find the discipline and restraint in order to not to fall into this one, fall into craving, feeding the craving rather than feeding the body, giving the body what it needs. But you realise, well, you know, there's an important lesson here in practice terms. An important lesson in our minds can trick us, and how we can think things are one way and they're not that way at all. We end up in a situation with seemingly a harmless, fairly harmless thing. It can become an obstruction to me. Overeating a bit, it can seem too terribly, terribly harmful. And yet, it was blocking my meditation. You see very clearly how. And then I just found myself with so much craving as a result. mind not being able to settle. I was sitting there, and the tea time would be 5 o'clock in Thailand, and there'd be a few sweet drinks, and not a lot, but something. Sometimes craving this from kind of 2 o'clock, 2:30 onwards. Just sitting there, all I could think of was, oh gosh, when's the bell going to go? When's the bell going to go? Ridiculous, it's only 2:30 in the afternoon. Yet, if I sat this out, I sat this out and kept going, and interesting, my energy started to return despite not eating anymore. And the craving started to diminish. I started to feel happier, lighter, more ways than one. And now coming back, there's a sense of more sense of caution, which I hope is going to last, and restraint, not wanting to eat too much, and gone off that the feeling of after the one meal of the day, having eaten a lot, this feeling of being over full. I've never liked that, really gone off that now. So luckily so far, not too much weight gone back, still a little bit. Through the winter months, now it's a determination and a faith in what the Buddha recommends. The Buddha says that when you sit down to eat, and the skillful amount to eat is that which allays the hunger without inducing any other feeling of fullness. This is enough. Which, looking at how much I was eating in Thailand, was quite radical. I decided to try and have faith in this and put it into practice. So I wasn't eating an awful lot. In the beginning, my faith nearly failed me because I didn't feel very, I didn't have any energy much. I'm overdoing it, but I was in a way determined. I thought, I'm going to keep going with this one and see how it goes. And I'm very glad I did. I hope I can stick to that. So, it's an example, and you can end up seeing this relationship with the body then, not really understanding, not understanding in the thinking mind really understand the workings there. We can be fooled, not really understand the mechanism of the way that our own body works. It's this kind of sense of detachment to the body as well, which is actually is quite healthy. We've seen the craving clearly, but also seeing that, well, you have to experiment. You don't necessarily know one way or another what's wise. Our minds can trick us. It's very clear, and when we're really overdoing it, getting into a lot of fatty food or something, and enjoyment of fatty foods, and getting bigger and bigger, and more and more tired as a result. I mean, I was very tired, lugging around 12 kilos I lost in the end. Going into the gym and trying to lift 12 kilos, and gosh, this is such an awful lot of weight. This is amazing. I was carrying this around everywhere. No wonder I was a bit tired. Goodness me, I can't believe it. Trying to do bicep curl with 12 kilos, gosh, that's not a lot. It's a struggle. Can't believe it. When I came back, I was carrying weights in my pockets just to remind me. I carry around 2.5 kilos in my pockets, and these little weights. I really notice this, put on a coat with an extra 3 kilos or something. This is a quarter of what I've lost, and feel the weight of it. Unbelievable. It's a real eye-opener, this whole thing. And it requires some discipline to overcome the craving, but actually you're lucky to. Discipline's a difficult one. It's easier just to be somewhere where there isn't any food. In Thailand there just wasn't any from 9 o'clock in the morning until the following morning, apart from a few sweeties and a cup of cocoa. It's much easier being in a situation where it's around a lot. where I'm up in my hut at Amaravati, where I'm about 2 minutes walk away from the monastery, and it's far enough for the chocolate in the common room, the cheese and the chocolate in the common room in the afternoon to be calling me, Galliano, Galliano, like that, isn't it? I can hear the chocolate calling from the common room. Oh, it's only 2 minutes walk away. It's quite difficult. Yeah, willpower lets you down. You can nibble away. Necessarily. I went to visit another monastery and didn't know where the tea time was, so I missed this afternoon sweet drink, which I was desperately craving for. And I felt so much better, so much more energy. I thought, gosh, so much for that. This bit of sugar actually is rather counterproductive. You get a quick buzz and then down you go. Better off without it. Even that. One day travelling and got a very meagre meal, just very little indeed. And then that evening, nothing, no tea or no sugar or anything. All the things that I was craving, and cup of tea, sugar. Thinking these are the things that were keeping me going. I felt so much better without them. You just feel, it's almost obvious that my mind just doesn't know what it's saying. You actually see it like that. Clearly right in your face. Well, my doesn't know what it's saying. It's not. It's just a habit. Craving habit. It's not doing me any good. The way to get away from it is to find a nice disciplined forest monastery and start feeling a lot better. Lose a lot of weight. Feel a lot better. So it's actually one of the reasons why there's a lot of faith in this generation for the Thai forest tradition is that the Queen, who is an extremely highly respected and loved person in Thailand, much as the King, she's a lovely lady, and she rather lost it at a spell and got very fat. I think she was maybe drinking a bit as well, I'm not sure. I wouldn't hate to accuse her of that if that's not true, I don't really know, but she's certainly putting on a lot of weight. Her way of sorting herself out was the same as mine. She took herself off to a good forest monastery and came back all lithe and smiling. Often common in Thailand, a forest monastery is a place where people dry out or detox. Yeah, they actually do have detox programs now. Monasteries in Thailand running detox programs. Go off to the forest, simple life. And a good place and lots of kindness to help you to get through the cold turkey or whatever it is. So I had people this monk who looked after me when I was first in a monastery in Thailand who had become addicted to amphetamine. And the only way he could think of getting away from it was to get to a monastery where he couldn't get near it. And it turned out to be the most absolutely lovely, kind, very, very kind to me indeed. Really helped me through my first hot season when I was really struggling. He brought me ice, brought me cokes and ice drinks, and it was so kind. These kinds of experiences can make us like that, and humble us, and can be become very kind. A man I spoke to who's become a long-term supporter of the monastery used to be a heroin addict, and he said a big turning point in his life was where some friends came to see him in London, and he was in a very desperate state and completely hooked, and they said to him, if you want, you can come with us back to Nottingham where we live, get your eye from a situation where you can get the drugs. You won't know where to find them in Nottingham, so if you would like to, then you could come and stay with us for a while. We'd like to help you. Do a very lovely offer his Buddhist friends made. And his friend said he was humble enough at that moment to say, well, actually, I think I better come with you right now, if that's all right, which wasn't what they expected, but it was a very humbling thing for him to say. But he was very honest and said, well, I think I better come with you right now. Get out of this. Is that all right? And that's what he did. And he managed to get off it. So it was a very humble experience for me. Minor, but I thought I knew my body a bit or something. I discovered I didn't really. I was just going to come and see them doing something quite harmless. But you see, it took me a very long time to overcome that craving, the craving for those things, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It kept coming back over and over and over again. What was it worth, really, those little snacks, this and that, whatever it was? Was it worth all that? Is it really worth all that craving? It just didn't seem worth all that craving. So I can just sit through all of that to come out the other end of the mind to be peaceful again. And as you know, I take full responsibility for that. You know, I'm not going to blame Amaravati, am I? My own responsibility. And hopefully I've gained a new perspective. So I thought that may be an interesting tale to tell. Offer that for your reflection.